Yes, welcome in another edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour, a Lexington edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour. So, of course, if we're going to have a dreary, rainy Lexington edition of the show, you have to go to the GOAT. His name is Dan Issel, joins us here. First appearance on the Happy Hour in a minute. Dan Issel, how are you?
I'm terrific, Lou. How are you doing? Where's our man Gandolfo?
All right, so I think you know this about Mike. Mike's a big wig with the pink jackets at the Derby Festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So tonight is Bourbonville. It's one of his events. And so it's insane. He got 18 distilleries to show up, $75 at the door, all you can eat, all you can drink.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
We did.
It's a legit offer here. I am in my garage. It is what it is. We went early, and I've got a bunch of kids in my house, so just a little quieter out here, Dan. No cigar, though, for you. How about that?
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Even though I probably have a hard time smelling it all the way in Denver.
Maybe. I didn't want to risk it. It's just what it is, you know? So he is Dan Issel. He joins us here on the Horse Racing Happy Hour. If you've never found us on Twitter, you're welcome to go find us for sure over on Twitter at Horse Happy Hour. We're ready to get into replays if Zach is ready to get into replays. I was there on Saturday, Dan, at Keeneland to watch Sierra Leone take down the Bluegrass. We haven't had a Bluegrass horse win the Derby, win the Bluegrass and win the Derby since 91. But boy, we got a nice performance out of a horse named, his name is Sierra Leone. And he's a serious contender here. So, Zach, if we could pull up the Bluegrass from last weekend, from very far back in the pack to the front on a day when that just wasn't happening.
Center of the pack, looking toward the outside, 8 lengths to make up, just over a quarter mile to go. Top Connor is the leader. Epic Ride swings wide, just a touch between horses. Door Knock has to shift lanes along with Sierra Leone. That pair out in the center of the track, still 5 lengths off the lead as they move by the 8th pole. Just a touch has taken the lead from Top Connor. Sierra Leone is running on from the outside. A 16th to go. Sierra Leone comes forward for the lead and deep stretch and wins the Toyota Bluegrass for Ty.
All right. So, Dan, one of the things that stood out about this race to me that we get told isn't going to happen in the Derby, but always happens in the Derby. Oh, there's no rabbit in this field. There's not going to be any speed. Yeah. Well, jockeys are people too, and they're going to overreact, and someone's going to want the lead, and they're going to go 23 and 46 in it. That's going to happen right now. Either you've got a horse that can just do that and go 110 and win, and he's 3 years old, and that's fine, and he can go the 10 furlongs to do it. I don't know, fierceness, right? He's probably going to have to do something like that. Sierra Leone's going to not do that, right? He's going to be in the 20-horse field. He's going to have to make his own path. He's going to have to come off the pace there, Dan. I think at 10 furlongs, he's absolutely a player here. What did you think of that performance?
I thought it was excellent. I really did. As you referred to earlier, Louis, Keeneland, the first weekend was a conveyor belt.
If
you weren't on the lead at the head of the stretch, it didn't matter if you were 4-5 or 45-1. If you were on the lead at the head of the stretch, you were going to win the race. Now, it wasn't quite as adamant going two turns, but still, this horse came from out of it. Great big strides. If you had to pick the performance apart, I don't like that he's trying to lay on horses exactly on the inside. Now, remember, there was a huge crowd there, and he had the outside post and was very reluctant to load. So maybe that was part of it, but he's done this before. But I was very impressed with the performance, the way he ran by those horses in the stretch. And when he gets to the lead, his ears just go up. And they start going back and forth, which tells me that Tyler had a whole lot more horse than that. And, right now, he's my Derby horse, Lou.
Oh, okay, there you go. Well, that's not a Brad Cox horse. So that's a big statement from Dan Issel. That's a joke. But, look, I caught up with Tyler right after the race, Dan, or actually after the finale, which he also won. And I made the joke question, are you going to ride domestic product or Sierra Leone in the Derby? he made the diplomatic answer of, I'll let Chad decide there. But I think we know. Does that add a dimension at all for you? I interviewed Tyler a couple weeks ago on the Kentucky Racing Spotlight. He's 29. I feel like he's right on the precipice of the very best years of his career as a jockey, getting into his 30s, more comfortable places. And I say that about him, Dan, and he's won like 308 Churchill Downs writing titles in a row. So it's not like he's not already at a very great spot in his career. But Tyler's experience at Churchill, does that matter to you in the Derby?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, not only that, Lou, but he, you know, we talk, when we talk about the great jockeys, you know, we talk about the Ortiz brothers, we talk about Rosario, we talk about Saez. Mm-hmm. He is, in my estimation, Tyler is as good as those riders are. And if he rode in New York on a regular basis, I think, you know, he'd be thought of in that same class. But I love Tyler. I think that his familiarity with Churchill Downs will do nothing but help this horse.
I agree with you. And so an impressive rally from the back of the pack. Let's head out to NYC, head out to Aqueduct for the Wood Memorial, a name that we all know very well in horse racing circles on the training side. Ends up with the win here in Resilience. And so let's go ahead, Zach, head out to Long Island and play the Wood Memorial stretch here.
Protective from the back of the field. They're all making a charge for the lead. Lonesome Boy will have the lead here with Resilience, and now Resilience presses on, and Resilience is quickly up by two, three widening lengths. Society Man is in the clear. Oh, we had a spill there. Deposition clipped heels and went down. It was Resilience who's opening up, is up by 2.5, three lengths. Society Man down towards the inside. Protective, Resilience is drifting out. It's Resilience who's clear, is up by three lengths now. Resilience will win the Wood. Society Man second, Protective, Lonesome Boy is going to finish fourth.
Worth mentioning in the spill there in the back of the field, Dan, that the horse did get up under his own power, appears to be okay, as is the jock. So worth mentioning there. I actually appreciate Chris Griffin, the track announcer at Aqueduct, mentioning that, because it wasn't on screen. It wasn't something that he had to mention,
right?
But still mention it. There's no reason not to be transparent. Horses fall during races. It happens. Resilience wins here, Dan, and I'm going to frame it with a couple of different notes here. We haven't had a Wood winner come in and win the Derby since Fusaichi Pegasus in 2000. It's been a long time, okay? And trainers are not taking their best three-year-olds recently on the Wood path toward the Kentucky Derby. They're just not. I think they're using it, right? You know, Brad Cox has horses up there, certainly, you know, with Bill Mott, obviously, in this case. But with a horse like Resilience, he wins over two turns at Aqueduct. We saw Sierra Leone in this last race. He came out of that Remsen in December, Dan, and then went on. He's won two Derby preps since then. We can laugh, but Domestic Product finished seventh in that Remsen, won the Tampa Bay Derby. Dornock came back. He has won a Derby prep since then, just ran in the Bluegrass as well. Is there any chance that actually whatever is set up at Aqueduct this year, Dan, will translate better to the Derby just because these horses have been coming out so well?
I don't think so.
Okay, yeah.
That race. Louis, when you look at the five major preps, and I'm talking about the three we're going to discuss today, plus Louisiana Derby and the Arkansas Derby, this in my mind was the least impressive Derby prep, big Derby prep, 100-point Derby prep race, right, that we saw. I mean, the horse that finished second was 99-1, I believe. And so Deterministic, who was the favorite, Clement's horse, didn't run a step. I didn't like this race at all, and therefore I don't like any of the contenders coming out of this race.
Well, there you go. Well, we might go a full quarter century then between Wood Memorial winners in the Kentucky Derby. The Wood Memorial, a very historic race. They just ran the 99th edition of it, and so I'm sure at some point, Dan, we will get a winner. If we can get a first place and a second place finish out of the Jeff Ruby Stakes, I'm sure at some point the Wood Memorial winner will show up and do just fine at Churchill Downs. But in the starting gate is Resilience, and so we will see him first Saturday in May. Obviously, the connections there, Bill Mott, John Velasquez, and Bill Mott, of course, if you don't remember, was the recipient of the greatest, or I should say the greatest, but the most famous DQ in racing history with Maximum Security, the 22-minute delay until we got Country House. And so that was the last time.
Mrs. Issel would agree with that because she had $20 across the Country House. She got back $3,600, I believe.
All right, well, let's go on to the last race. We will get into the other Derby runners. You didn't mention the Florida Derby, but I'm sure you consider it a major prep, obviously.
Yeah,
and so We'll talk about fierceness when we get to it, but let's go to the last prep from this last weekend. And that was out west at what is one of the absolute major preps, especially in recent Derby history, which is the Santa Anita Derby. Stronghold in this one. Let's watch.
Imagination making his move past the quarter pole. EJ won the cup, running a good race on the outside. Tapelo is down at the rail, and Stronghold won from the outside. A driving finish. Stronghold bursts through between horses and is up to take the lead at the furlong pole. Imagination trying to match strides with him, and EJ won the cup in third. It's Imagination and Stronghold nose and nose in the Santa Anita Derby. Stronghold just in front, and Stronghold prevails under Antonio.
149.98 in that one, so essentially a 150. We're seeing a lot of that, Dan, in the mile and an eighth races.
Yeah,
seen a ton of great horses over the years come out of the Santa Anita Derby, Dan. I don't need to list them off. I remember in 2016, I thought the top three in that race between Nyquist, Exaggerator, and Whitmore was just the best three ever. And by the way, I wasn't wrong. Nyquist wins the Derby. Whitmore goes on to absolutely a Hall of Fame career. Exaggerator wins the Preakness. So we've seen great horses come out of the Santa Anita Derby. Are you ready for a little fun fact about Stronghold, Dan?
Sure.
He broke his maiden. Do you know where he broke his maiden?
I do not.
Churchill Downs on October 1st last year. Do you know who ran second in that race? Is a horse that won the Wood Memorial named Resilience. Do you know who else was third in that race? Was Track Phantom, who will be in the starting gate for the Kentucky Derby. So the October 1st, 7th race at Churchill Downs will give us three starters in the Kentucky Derby race. When we tell you to pay attention in the September meet at Churchill and then in October at Keeneland, this is what we're talking about. Three starters out of one maiden race at Churchill Downs. The thing I liked about this, Dan, and I'm not going to get too excited about the time or the speed or the fight and the stretch, he had to push his way between two horses to make a path there. Exactly. I like that a lot from three-year-olds. What says Dan Issel?
Yeah, no, you stole my thunder because that was the exact point I was going to make. He came through a hole, mm-hmm. which really, if you're able to do that Derby day, that's very helpful, Louis. And I like the way that he fought with Baffert's horse and came out on top. I can't say he would be in my top three. But okay. He certainly is a contender. He is not without a chance.
So we've gone through, Stronghold now fourth in the points, Resilience fifth because of those 100-point races. Dan, other horses that won those kinds of races are going to be endlessly at Turfway Park. You know, a little bit of a, you know, push back and forth between Mike McCarthy and the ownership about running in the Derby. Feels like the ownership wants to. Mike McCarthy is very convinced he's a turf horse. I'm always of the opinion, try the Derby, and if your horse is a turf horse, go figure it out later on. Forever Young is a Japanese-trained horse here, Dan, who wins the UAE Derby, wins the Saudi Derby before that. I remember being at Breeders' Cup with you in November out at Santa Anita. We talked about, you know, the eventuality, essentially, of a Japanese horse winning the Kentucky Derby. Is this possibly the year? Do we think of this as an all-time great Derby field? Is a horse like Forever Young got a shot here?
I think so. He's undefeated. He's won. I don't know who he's run against, Lou, but that's not his fault. I mean, he's got to the wire first every time they put him in the starting gate. And if you look at that Madonna, it looked like to me the horse has trouble with kickback. And so they had him out wide the whole UAE Derby. And that was not the place to be on that day, on that track. And he still came in and did his job. So if they can get him used to the kickback, because if you can't take kickback, you can't win the Kentucky Derby. But if they get used to that and can put him behind horses, yeah, I think he's got a shot.
The horse that we haven't mentioned in the prep that you did not mention is the Florida Derby. Fierceness wins that race, Dan. You and I were there in L.A. when he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Comes back at Gulfstream first off the layoff. Doesn't look great. Comes back in the Florida Derby. Looks like the fierceness that we know he can be. You and I, when we handicap together, a lot of times I'll talk about every other types. Fierceness, unfortunately, fits into that every other type. And this would be the off race in the Derby. Look, connections here, Dan, all of it makes sense. Jockey, Pletcher, Rapoli, all of it makes sense for this horse to be able to compete at the highest level. All of the resources, all of the, you know, the breeding, everything. Where does Dan Issel fall on fierceness? Is this one you can trust on the first Saturday of May?
You know, going back to that Breeders' Cup day, I to think that one of us cashed a pick five ticket. I can't remember which one of us that was, Lou. But I don't trust the horse. It seems like to me, if everything goes perfectly, yeah, he is awesome. He is awesome. When things don't go his way, what was it? The Holy Bull that he got bumped up around a little bit at the beginning.
He quit.
And didn't run a step. And so I can't trust the horse. If right now, and he might be the favorite, you know, a lot of people, he got in 10 buyer, Lou, in the Florida Derby. That's gonna pull an awful lot of people to his side. If I was playing trifectas right now, I'd chuck him.
Okay. Catching Freedom is going to be Brad Cox's top horse in the Derby. Flavian Pratt will ride, wins the Louisiana Derby that you mentioned. Ran a decent third behind Sierra Leone in the Risen Star. Do you think he's got a shot?
He's not my favorite Cox horse.
I agree.
My favorite is the one who ran second in the Bluegrass.
Yeah, Just a Touch. Yep.
That colt, Louis, has only had 3 starts. And they've thrown a lot at him very quickly, and he looks like a horse that is on the rise. You know, I love Brad, and you know that I would like for him to win every Kentucky Derby. But he's got a chance. But I think I could name 3 horses right now that I'd rather have than any of his.
You know, the interesting thing too, Dan, is I interviewed Brad a couple weeks ago for the Spotlight Show, and he was very, very transparent about the fact that, yes, it's nice that Mandaloon got the check for the Derby, but he wants to be there when his horse crosses the line first, right? And I appreciated him just saying that, because, you know, it's such a business of these guys saying, well, yeah, he's training great, and he looks great, and she's great, and she's doing this, and this is great, and all these horses are great, and all my owners love me, and he didn't do that. he just fell out. He said, no, I want to be there when my horse crosses the finish line first in the Kentucky Derby.
Absolutely. I mean, how could you not? Any trainer, I think, would feel that way. I mean, I'm sure he still cashed his 10% of the winning share, but you know, anybody, especially a guy that grew up a 5-iron from Churchill Downs.
Yeah, that's right.
Want to go over there and get the trophy on the cupola.
Dan Issel making a golf reference during Masters Week. If you listen to Issel and Louie when it was on Masters Week, I'm still doing the Canes read like that, Dan, by the way. It's just it's a ridiculous thing. But the Endlessly is going to potentially be in this field, Dan. Winner of the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate comes to Turfway and wins for fun in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. A reminder to everyone, 2 Phils won that race last year for fun, ran second in the Derby after doing all the work. It's passed by Mage in the last eighth of a mile the year before Rich Strike wins the Derby. Do you still have the Turfway thing in your head where you can't trust a horse like Endlessly, Dan, or are we past that point?
No, it's not that. Here's why I trust him. Lou, if I had a 3-year-old that had enough points to win the Kentucky Derby, he would be in the starting gate if he was 2,000 to 1. So yep, I can understand the owner wants to run in the Kentucky Derby. But when the trainer says, we've worked him on the dirt, and it didn't go too well, and $600,000 for the grass race is still a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
That's why I don't trust Endlessly.
Okay. Well, yeah. Prior to that, by the way, horse finished first in his first ever run, which was a sprint on the turf at Del Mar, wins the Del Mar Juvenile Turf, wins the Zuma Beach at Santa Anita, runs in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, 8th place in that one, comes back, like I mentioned, in those 2 races as well. I wasn't surprised at how well he ran at Turfway, only that those surfaces at Golden Gate and Turfway are so different. I know they're both listed as synthetic, but they're very different.
Yeah.
And so I was impressed that he was able to do that. I like horses that can travel. I mean, he's won at Del Mar, he's won at Santa Anita, he's won at Golden Gate, he's won at Turfway. I like a horse that can do that, because Churchill around Derby is not a normal horse track. It's just not. It's very busy. It's very, there's a lot going on, right? And so if a horse can travel and do those things, it's one that I'm going to include in my tickets, just because, I mean, if I get beat by Endlessly, who's 5-for-6 lifetime, I'm just going to feel like a moron. as Dan Issel would say.
I'll tell you what, Lou, if you whatever amount you're going to bet him in the horizontal or vertical,
sure,
I'll take that to the window for you.
There you go. Are we overlooking Door Knock because of one performance?
Yeah, I think what Danny found out, Danny Gargan, the trainer, is that don't try to make a horse do what he doesn't want to do. And in the bluegrass, he tried to rate him. He didn't like the kickback, I don't think. And the post-race comments from Danny were, this horse won't get any kickback in the Derby, which tells me he's gonna be on the go. And that's the way he's run best. I'm still not crazy about him, but any horse that's a full brother has his record and is a full brother to the horse that you know I loved in the Derby last year. You can't discount him.
Is there a horse outside of the top 10 in the points that Dan Issel likes? Obviously, Just a Touch is at ninth. I'll just give you the list so you don't have to look it up. West Saratoga, Just Steel, Wayne Lucas's horse, Honor Marie, Whit Beckman's horse, Domestic Product that we mentioned, won the winner of the Tampa Bay Derby, Catalytic, who ran second in the Florida Derby behind Fierceness. I'm sure no one noticed because it took 7-8 minutes for him to get there after Fierceness. Obviously, Deterministic, who you mentioned, ran in the Wood. And then Society Man, another Gargan trained, just ran second in the Wood at 99-1. Mystic Dam is 18th in the points after winning in the slop in the Southwest Stakes. And then T.O. Password is Daisuke Takayanagi's horse coming from the Fuku Ryu in Japan. Any of those get Dan Issel going?
Well, I have to give a shout out to West Saratoga.
Yeah.
He's owned by a guy I know here in Colorado. He doesn't spend anything for horses. I think this horse cost him $11,000. Uh-huh. And Harry has been, we used to match up and run against each other at old Arapaho Park here in Denver. I'd love to see him. If you see his silks, the back of his silks is the Colorado state flag. I'd like him, if it comes up muddy, if it's an off track, then you got to put Mystic Dan in your truck.
I agree.
An awesome performance that he had at Oaklawn.
And worth mentioning too, Brian Hernandez Jr. is Kenny McPeak's top rider. So he's going to get the mount, knows Churchill Downs. And on top of that, that move with him, with Mystic Dan in that race is still 2024. It's up there for best ride of the year. I mean, he skimmed the rail there at Oaklawn like a champ. So if he's Mystic Dad, you talked about horses not wanting kickback. That horse didn't care. He was covered in mud. He probably gained 3 pounds during that race and didn't care. So So I agree with you. I think he's a must include. On the bubble are horses that we're going to talk about, Dan. Hades is one of these that's running in the Lexington on 2 weeks rest. They're obviously trying to get in the Kentucky Derby. As a horse player, I love that. I want these guys to run their horses. So I'm very thankful that Hades is making the trip for trainer Joe Arsenio. And then, No More Time is in the field with 45 points currently. And Sino is Brad Cox's other trainee here that's running. Liberal Arts will be in this race as well. They'll only essentially move up the also eligibles list, which in recent years in the Kentucky Derby meant you were running. So, that's a good place to be is in 21st or 22nd. What do you think, we'll get to the Lexington in a minute. If Hades gets in and has to run essentially 3 times in 5 weeks, is that just too much for the Derby?
Absolutely. And I don't know. I mean, here's another horse. He looks like a need the lead to me.
Yes.
Although in his maiden race, which was for Florida breds, but against $50,000 claimers, if you weren't a Florida bred, he did come from off the pace. The other two, the Holy Bull, he walked them in the Holy Bull. They went in 25 and 50 in a piece. He got absolutely destroyed when he couldn't make the lead in the Florida Derby. You're absolutely right. They're just they're running in Lexington with an outside chance of getting a free box on Derby Day.
Well, there you go. We will get into more Derby horses as we go this month. Reminder for people listening, if Hades wins, he's in the field. No More Time would move to the also eligibles. If he does not win, No More Time is on the list of horses automatically in the field. They will run if they're healthy. If Encino wins, he moves into the first spot on the also eligible list. Liberal Arts can firmly move into the second spot on the AE list if he wins this weekend as well. Dan, are you ready for there's no good way to transition to who sponsors this show now.
Okay.
There's no good way to do it, so I'm just going to do it. We are presented today by Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Use our promo code HORSERACING and you will get 20% off your order and you will get free shipping. It is a fantastic, fantastic offer. Use our promo code HORSERACING, all one word, all caps if you can. Get in there, get 20% off. Maybe you need some shaving supplies and different things. Maybe you need to clean up a little below the collarbone, Dan Issel. And so Manscaped got all of those
It's fine, Louis.
Use our promo code HORSERACING, get 20% off. Dan, for your appearance on the show today, you will get a razor and a pack from our friends at Manscaped. Go use that promo code HORSERACING, and you can join Dan Issel on the Manscaped team. How about that? All right. I will just get one for your face, Dan. Nice single blade razor, old school. It's going to be really nice.
That's all I need.
There you go. Well, let's move on to the handicapping section of the show. I like to do this with Dan because I know he appreciates it. On a random Saturday in Lexington, they're going to run a late pick five with two non-stakes with $1.54 million in the purses, Dan.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed that you used the second race as part of the handicapping.
Why is that?
Because there's a horse in there owned by Arapaho Thoroughbreds.
Oh, man. Who owns Arapaho Thoroughbreds? I can't even see who are these people.
Dan and Scott Issel.
How about that? We will get to that one in a minute here. That's a definite play against, by the way, people. Whatever Dan's got in the races. I mean, it is what it is. But we'll start with the Giants Causeway. Race 7 starts with the late pick 5 there at Keeneland. It's a grade 3, 5.5 furlong sprint on the turf here, Dan. Phillies and Mares 3 and up 300K in the kitty. It's like a grade 1 in California. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 8, Roses for Deborah. If you look at her PPs, she was undefeated on the grass last year until she started running against the boys. She ran against the boys at Parks in the Turf Monster, and I remember watching that race, Louie. That track had no bottom to it. It was a complete bog. And then she comes back against the Colts. Now, remember, she's only a 4-year-old at that point. She's had some time off. Her works look good. This is straight fillies and mares. So you get Irad and Christophe Clement. I went with the 8 Roses for Deborah.
I think the 4 Ovra here is really interesting. Jareth Loveberry coming in to ride this one. Ran last, going a mile and a 16th. Getting back to a distance she's much more comfortable at. 4 for 7 lifetime. Sometimes, Jan, just that speed. She's going to come from a little bit off the pace. It's raining here today. It's going to rain into tomorrow. And I think we're going to have somewhere between good and soft go at Keeneland on Saturday. What would you guess, by the way, if we're just forecasting ahead? They'll keep the graded stakes on the turf, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, they, I mean it's a 14-day meet. Now they'll take the allowance races off like they did today and like they did yesterday. But no, a graded stake tomorrow's the Maker's Mark Grade 1.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It'll definitely those graded stakes will stay on. They don't want a Grade 1 to wind up having 4 horses in it.
Giants Causeway will be race 7 on Saturday. Do you like anyone else in there? Maybe like a Play the Music coming out of Tampa, ran a 55-4 over 4 furlongs last time out, gets Jose Ortiz in the mount, maybe a Bling here. Is this a spread race, or do you feel pretty good about Roses for Deborah?
No, you have to use some other ones. Elm Drive, although the horses coming from California have just not done much at Keeneland.
And I don't think deep soft go at Keeneland's going to be good for a California horse.
It's Keeneland's turf course drains very well. So if it stops raining here in the next 12 hours. I think it'll still be okay. It won't be bottomless, that's for sure.
Sure.
Have to look at, you always have to look at Ward's horses, and this, the 12 horse, Love Reigns, is 2-for-3 on the turf at Keeneland. So, she's not without a chance either.
Yeah, Love Reigns was one that he took to Ascot as a 2-year-old as well. And so obviously a horse that he thought a lot of, a daughter of U.S. Navy flag, a sire that I know very, very little about. How about that? Optional claimer coming up in race 8. Start of the pick 4, $100,000 claim price, $130,000 in the purse. Mile and a 16th on the dirt, 4 and up for non-3 lifers, Dan. Pick a horse that isn't yours.
You know what? They ought to be embarrassed that they're running, that this group of horses is running for $130,000. There's almost every horse in this race, Lou, got beat double digits last time.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, right.
Incredible. I finally landed on the one, and that is because if you throw his last race out, the Dust Commander, which was on the synthetic, and his first race since last August, he's as competitive as anybody in this field. Lobo had a pretty decent meet at Turfway. XOX Equine has spent an awful lot of money on horses. So I went with the 2 Transect.
Okay. Yeah. 2 Transect on top here. Which is your horse in here, Dan?
No. We're not here. We're in the second race.
Oh, the second race. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you said the second race of the sequence. I'm sorry. No. So your girl, St. Benny's running on Saturday. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. And here's something interesting that has nothing to do with anything.
All right.
Before Danny Hurley got his, now we didn't name her because we claimed her. And so Michael Dove and a couple of other New York guys named her, but before Danny Hurley got his first college job at Wagner, he coached for 9 years at St. Benedict's Prep.
There you go. Nice connection to the national championship. Were you surprised he turned down the Kentucky job?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, fair enough.
I think there are too many people. If Cal and his swagger and his personality couldn't handle the pressure, I think a lot of people are looking at this job. Mitch might have a hard time finding somebody to take this position.
There you go. Classic Catch coming back out of the hill, the grade 2 at Aqueduct in November. They tried him on the turf and he hated it. Before that, ran really well in the Jockey Club Derby Invitational at Aqueduct, that Belmont meet up there as well. And before that, won an optional claimer at Saratoga. He'll be the favorite in that race going in. Certainly the connections there, Pletcher and Irad. I know the Lexington gets the billing, but the best race of the day is going to be the Jenny Wile. It's a grade 1. Going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Phillies and Mares 4 and up, $600,000 on the line here. Some names, Dan, for sure that people know if they follow horse racing, especially American Turf Racing. Fluffy Socks is in here. Gina Romanica, Surge Capacity, Didia, all in here. I still don't understand, Dan. We keep doing this. Didia's not the morning line favorite, and all she does outside of the Breeders' Cup is show up in exactly these kinds of spots. She's the 9 horse here. Jose Ortiz, because he's moving his tack to Kentucky, and I talked to him right before I talked to you on at our Turfway show a couple weeks ago. He's in a different zone right now, Dan. He is just riding his absolute mother bleeping head off right now. Where did you land in this one? I'm on Diddy. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Now, this was really tough. I mean, if you're late pick 5, this is a spread race for sure. Lou, you've got her. You've got all of Chad Brown. Every one of Chad Brown's horses.
All of his horses are here in this race. Yes.
Here's who I, and maybe I'm, well, I am. But anyway, I went with English Rose.
Okay, sure.
Charles Appleby has won many graded races, sending horses over here from Europe. This horse is a neck away from being undefeated. She's by Frankel out of a Dubawe mare. I mean, it just, the breeding doesn't get any better than that. Nope. William Buick will be here tomorrow to ride one of Appleby's horses in the Maker's Mark, and he's sticking around to ride this filly. And so, but I don't know. You could put them all in a hat and pick one, but since I can't do that, I'm going to have to say English Rose is my pick.
Yeah, it's interesting. Three times out of her four runs, she's run on what's listed as good overseas, which actually might actually be near firm, frankly, where they've watered the course at Maidan and then at Kempton and Newmarket before that. Look, Charlie Appleby doesn't miss very often. He's 5-for-8 last time. The last eight times running a horse in North America for the first time, he wins at 29% in graded stakes. Doesn't fly in Bill Buick for no reason. You're exactly right. And so this is a Godolphin homebred with just an absolutely royal line here. Gina Romantica in this race. A lot of closing is going to happen here, including Gina Romantica. Is there anyone that might get out front, stay out front in this race, Dan?
On the lead, on the turf, unlike the dirt, on the lead, on the grass course, really hadn't been the place to be. So I don't think anybody will walk the dog in this race. There's just too many good horses in this race. I mean, you know, Gina Romantica, you can't look at all the grade ones on PP. I mean, you can't knock her. She's won 1,000,002. Isn't it interesting that with the Ortiz brothers and Rosario, Tyler Gaffleone is kind of Chad Brown's go-to guy, which I find very interesting.
I'll answer the question for you. I think they're going to try to get Walkathon on the lead of this race, by the way. Ran second by a neck in the Honey Fox, won the Endeavor before that at Tampa. I think that'll be your horse on the lead, not an especially fast horse. So I think we'll see those classic mile and a 16th, Keeneland 25 and 49 kind of splits coming down the backstretch of Keeneland. Let's move on then to race 10. It is the Lexington, the last Derby prep of the year, 20 points on the line. Like we mentioned earlier, if he wins, Hades is in the field. If Encino wins, he's the first eligible. Liberal Arts moves solidly into the Odsell eligible list as well with a win, $400,000 on the line, mile and a 16th on the dirt for three-year-olds. Dan, the Wine Steward off a massive layoff here, feels like a play for the Preakness for him. Do you think any of those three horses I mentioned with real Derby qualification possibilities can win here?
The one that you mentioned with Derby possibilities that can win here in my mind is Encino.
I agree.
Now you look at the breeding. I know his first three starts were at Turfway, which would make you think he was kind of a second stringer or third stringer for Brad. His buyers have continued to go up in three starts. He's by Nyquist out of a Bernardini mare, which means to me he doesn't need – I mean, that pedigree works on dirt as well as it works on the synthetic. Alex Concepcion is a nice jockey, but he's not Florent Giroux, who climbs forward now. So of the horses that have a chance to be in the Derby, I would say Encino. I don't know what to make of the Wine Steward. I mean, he broke his maiden in a New York bred. Then won a stake at Ellis. He won a New York bred stake and then just got beat half a length by Locked in the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last fall. You kind of wonder, Lou. I mean, his last race was in December. No, October.
October. In a minute.
He did not go to the Breeders' Cup. And here he's making his first start of the year on the 13th of April. I don't know. I'd toss the Wine Steward.
Do you like the horse on the outside? His name is Lucky Jeremy. I think I'll put him on top. I know Billy Moore is really known for his Turfway wins, but this horse ran third by 2.5 lengths to Stronghold. And Stronghold just won the Santa Anita Derby at Santa Anita. Any chance that it's Lucky Jeremy that picks this one off?
Sure. Like I said, is Hades the morning line favorite?
He's 7-2. I think he's not. No, the Wine Steward's 5-2.
Steward is. Hayden is 7-2. I don't like him. Liberal Arts is 4-1. I don't like him. Lucky Jeremy's got a shot.
And I think the only other horses we have to ask about here, let's go to Footprint. I never know, Dan, what to do with Kenny McPeak horses. Whenever I fade them, they win. And whenever I bet them, they don't win.
I got
this is the horse that's been very close, three straight races in Occidental Claimers and then in the Rushaway at Turfway. Do you give Footprint much of a shot here?
Yeah, I hope so. I love Dialed In. I've got a dialed in 2 year old. So, like I said, I think this race is wide open, just like the prior race. And the fact that I don't like some of the shorter priced horses makes me think I could get a price in here.
All right. Well, they'll close out the car with an allowance. It is technically scheduled for the turf. Dan and I are both guessing this one will be off. It is an allowance for three-year-olds, non-two lifers, mile and a 16th on the turf course there, Dan. 110K in the kitty for this one. If it is on the turf, who did you land on?
I landed on the same horse, turf or no turf, and that's the nine-horse Moonlight. I think the dirt track will be fast. Look at his last three starts, Louie. Sloppy, muddy, sloppy. And then you go over to look at his wet number on the daily racing form, 296, which is pitiful. I mean, that means his breeding would lead you to believe he can't stand up on a wet track. He gets Lasix for the very first time. He gets Irad Ortiz. And so turf or no turf, I'm on Moonlight.
His one win on dirt was on dry dirt at Aqueduct in a maiden special back in September against not in a New York bred race. I'll put it that way. How about that? Bunch of also eligibles in this one. And I think it's something we need to watch just because once in a while, someone will draw in off the AE list that's good on dirt, and that could be the 15-1 red scent. Just a heads up, ran in the Kentucky Jockey Club back in November, first race back this year, but did break his maiden at 6.5 furlongs. Tried him in that race. Let's see if he can get the distance here. Man, I just don't know. I think Incinerator could be interesting if they're off. The turf ran second last time in Tampa, could be one that gets the two turns and is just fine. But I think Royal Majesty in here as well, Junior Alvarado in for the day to ride for Bill Mott. Ran in that Colonel Liam at Gulfstream last time. A lot of traders now, Dan, using these allowances in Kentucky almost like listed stakes, right? Because there's so much money in the pools. And so I think that horse coming out of the win in the championship meet as a maiden at Gulfstream Park comes back in that Colonel Liam, the listed stakes there. Runs fifth, but only 3 3/4 lengths back of a couple of nice horses. Cugino came back well as well. Go ahead.
No, if it stays on,
correct.
Being by Frankel out of a Smart Strike mare, he won't run on the dirt, but if it stays on the turf, absolutely.
Well, there you go. All right, Dan. Well, do you have Derby plans? Are you watching in your basement in Colorado?
I'm watching. I won't be in my basement. Sherry, for special days like the Derby, Sherry lets me come upstairs.
Should they move the Derby to Keeneland?
No. 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 So is Zidane his lawsuit? You think we could see some Baffert horses in the Derby?
Do we need to remind people this happened in the 80s and we got a 21 horse starting gate? I mean, this has happened before. It isn't some zero chance. I mean, that's what's wild is because the counter argument from Churchill is, oh, then you're going to take someone else's spot.
Yeah.
And then the judge could just say, great, run 21. I don't care. Because frankly, there's no top limit to the number of horses you can run in a race, right? I mean, like we see 25 horse fields at Ascot.
Yeah, well, how many horses did they have? I was there for the 100th running. I can't remember how many. They had a bunch of horses in that one. That would have been 1974.
Yes, it was. Let me look. I don't know the answer to that. The 1974 Derby, they ran 23 horses in that race. Yeah,
I thought so.
I think that's the solution, by the way, is the judge just comes in and says, that's Muthus horse number 21. You got to start 21, but you get to start.
You know, I've never been in Baffert's corner on this deal. But the fact that he and Zidane dropped all of their lawsuits, And I thought this was the best argument in this whole thing that I've heard, Louis. And that was when Zidane said he was ruled off for 2 years. And I spent $2 million on Muth last year thinking that he could run in the Kentucky Derby. And so to me, that's a pretty good argument.
I agree. It's the best argument that I've heard from them to this point. It's not like, oh no, we just rubbed it on his ass. We didn't inject it in his ass. Like, it's not that, right? It's not any of this. No, we use the drug, just not how you're talking about. It's not that, right? Yeah. This is, hey man, I made plans. I made business plans based on public statements by a company, and then they didn't go, you know, that's neither here nor there. All right. Well, he is Dan Issel. I'm Louis Rabeau. Zach, go ahead and play the music. We will get out of here. Another edition of the horse racing happy hour. Am I not even going to see you at Keeneland this year, Dan? Are we doing this again?
I'm going to be in Keeneland last week.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to be there. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yep. Well, you should just stick around for Derby week then. It's not even that much time. What are we doing? I'll give you Zach's credential. You can come for the first couple days. How about that?
There you go.
Well, there you go.
How's that, Zach? You like that?
Dan Issel could be Zach Zader for 3 days. How about that? All right. Well, a reminder for those of you still listening, Tuesday of Derby week, we will have our annual seminar. It's at Blind Squirrel this year. No cover charge. So get in there, have a couple beers with the happy hour guys. And then the Friday before Preakness, we'll be at Jimmy Seafood in Baltimore doing a seminar there as well. Do not know all of the details yet for that one, but Black Eyed Susan evening, we will be in Baltimore doing a seminar at Jimmy's Seafood. Excited about both of those as well. Don't forget Manscaped, manscaped.com. Use our promo code horseracing to get 20% off and free shipping on your order. We will get Dan's face all cleaned up as well. All right, I'm Louis Rabeau. Dan Issel hanging out. Producer Zach, go ahead, play us out, buddy. This has been the Horse Racing Happy Hour. I love how terrible this music is. Oh, Dan likes it. Never mind.